Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The last book in the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not a revelation of a few things about Christ, nor merely a panorama of future events. Rather, its subject from the first to the last is Jesus Christ. If a man misses the unfolding of the glory of the blessed Son of God, then he has totally misunderstood the purpose and import of the book, regardless of whatever else he may see or discover in its pages. This is why at the end of the book, John says, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." A man may be mistaken about many doctrinal issues having to do with the gospel, the end of the world, and the role of men in fulfilling the purpose of God. But if a man misses the preeminence of the God-man, Jesus Christ, and his redemptive work in the behalf of his people, then that man is totally without a knowledge of the salvation of God. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the faithful witness. Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise made to David, that his seed would not fail to sit upon his throne forever. He is the root and offspring of David, and though it pleased him to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh, being born of Mary about 28 generations removed from David, he is greater than David. He does presently occupy that throne and has no rivals, having put down all powers and principalities, triumphing over them in his complete work of redemption. This is manifested by his perfect life of righteousness, imputed to his brethren, his satisfaction and fulfillment of the law of sin and death on the cross of Calvary, his complete victory over death in his resurrection becoming the firstfruits of them that slept, his calling of those whom he has purchased, indwelling them with his Spirit and giving them faith, without which it is impossible to please God, and ultimately his deliverance of them that are his at the last trump, when he shall bring those that sleep to eternal glory, shouting grace, grace unto it. He is the faithful witness. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. A faithful witness must testify of those things which he has seen. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end, and has ordered all things to occur according to his own divine purpose. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He is the faithful witness. A faithful witness will not lie. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Since he changeth not, we are sure that what he has promised, he will perform. The fulfillment of his promise may have seemed a long time in coming to those Jews who longed for the Messiah. But when the Lord was pleased to act, he did indeed make a short work in the earth, and did deliver that which he had testified of. He promised to write his law upon the hearts of his people, and this one who is the faithful witness has done exactly that. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Men often go shipwreck on the matter of good works. There is a deep ditch on either side of that true narrow road. One error purports that a man can be said to be a follower of Christ who exhibits no desire to walk in paths of righteousness. The other ditch into which religious men often fall is the belief that good works are the duty of believers in the sense that they are to labor to perform them in the same fashion as those who are required to do so under the law. The man who prays because of duty is not the same as the man who cries unto the Lord, saying, Abba, Father. The man who is repentant because he is instructed to be by men is not the same as the man who has a broken and contrite heart because the Spirit of God has convinced him of his innate wretchedness. Works born out of duty are the product of the flesh. Those which are the work of the Spirit stem from the power of the Holy Ghost, who works in the sons of God both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He is the faithful witness, who is the advocate for his elect before the judgment seat of God. His very presence before the throne of God is the joyous hope of all those who are convinced of sin, righteousness, and judgment by the operation of the Holy Ghost.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.